I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'm glad you're here. And if you've been with us or you get caught up via the God Is podcast, then you know that when we left off last time, I was sharing with you three insights into John chapter 12, verse 7, and the words of Jesus. These three insights were written way back in the year 1871 by Dr. A.B. Bruce. I'm following his theology here because out of all that I've read about this verse, his comments were the most enlightening and, I believe, truthful for what Christ means when he says of Mary, and now I am quoting Jesus in John 12 at verse 7, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." And so we did some research into Bruce's book, The Training of the 12, last time, and that is where I continue today. The training, it's a bit hard for me to say that word, but it is the training of the 12. And I know you may not particularly like this approach of me quoting as much as I am from someone else, but if this is how you feel, just stick with me. We'll move on from A.B. Bruce soon. That being said, I'm constantly following the good theology, the fruitful study of God done by Bible teachers and commentators that have preceded me. It's not like I look into the Word of God and see something nobody has seen before. Definitely not. I claim no new, never thought of before comprehension of this ancient text. In fact, you ought to be very leery, cautious, suspicious, whenever anyone supposedly teaching the Bible says they have a new idea. When you hear that, run away. My understanding about who God is, my own theology, is rooted and grounded in the trusted work of others, who then offer me their correct interpretations of God's holy word. I prayerfully read and study and discern them and instruct you accordingly. That's why all godly pastors are readers. The minister must always have an expansive library. We are learners always before we are teachers and preachers. And that's why if you want to get your pastor or minister a gift, give a gift certificate to Amazon or a Christian bookstore or a seminary's bookshop. That, I guarantee, will be much appreciated. Okay, that being said, let's keep tracking with A.B. Bruce on his third insight into what Jesus meant in John 12, verse 7. Just as a further reminder, Bruce says that what Jesus does with this statement is to draw our attention to Mary's act, pouring out the perfume, as a way to make sense of his death on the cross. He interprets her act in light of his impending death. And I've summarized Bruce's words into three main insights. First, the motive of Mary's act and Jesus' death is pure love. Second, Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. And third, Mary's act and Jesus' death on the cross were both extravagant in nature. We looked at the first two yesterday. First, the motive of Mary's act and Jesus' death is pure love. And second, Mary's act and Jesus' death were both self-sacrificing in character. And now we come to the third one. Mary's act and Jesus' death on the cross were both extravagant in nature. By now we know that Mary's use of the perfume was extravagant. It was 1 pound of very costly perfume of pure nard. And in Matthew 26 and verse 8, the disciples question, "Why this waste?" In other words, why use so much, Mary? You could have used less and the rest given for a greater purpose. But Jesus does not see it their way. He welcomes Mary's extravagance. Jesus sees it in his own deed of extravagance on the coming cross. In his book, our author writes, "Jesus shed his blood without measure and offered an atonement which was sufficient for the sins of the world." And then Bruce continues saying, and I am summarizing him now in my own words, that Jesus loved us in such a manner so as to expose Christ to the charge of extravagance. That is, someone might say of Jesus' death, it was too much. What a waste of life. Ah, but God says, I give all for the ones that I love. My prayer for you is that as we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, you will in this season come to see as never before what humiliation Christ endured in order to die for your sins. I want you to capture in your mind and heart within the Bible this emphasis on how extravagant, how magnificent, how generous is Jesus' sacrifice for you. He gave his all. He held nothing back. And again in Mary, breaking the vial and pouring out that sweet perfume, we see Jesus draw our attention to that act as telling us something most real about his death. What she does foretells what he does. Remarkable. Well, let's leave our friend and forefather in the faith, A.B. Bruce, here. Goodbye, Dr. Bruce. And yeah, just before leaving John 12 and verse 7, I want to draw your attention to two other commentators who have been like friends to me. I hope you'll also get to know them. The first, you feel as if you already do know, if you listen consistently to God Is. He is A.W. Pink. But the second is Alexander McLaren. I do not remember if I have quoted from him before on this broadcast and podcast, but he's a favorite Scotsman of mine. I'll take these two men of God in order and start with what Pink says about verse 7, and I'll remind you of Jesus' words there. Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. Pink says, this points still another contrast. Other women brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, says Mark 16, verse 1, after Christ was dead. Mary anointed him for his burial 6 days before he died. Her faith had laid hold of the fact that he was going to die. The apostles did not believe this, that she had learned much at his feet. End quote. Ah, that is so good. The other women came to anoint the body of Jesus when his body was already in the tomb. As you will remember if you know the true and glorious story of Christ's resurrection from the dead. But Mary's prescience led her to anoint his body with perfume now, before he died. And here is what Alexander McLaren said, quote, Jesus says what is done for him, and therefore he accepts it and breathes meaning into it. Jesus puts a meaning into Mary's act of which she probably had not been aware. And then McLaren adds this point of application for us. Do we know anything of that omnipotent impulse? Can we complacently set aside our givings besides Mary's? Good question, Alexander. Will we pour out our love for Christ as impulsively, as freely, as generously as Mary did? She forces us to answer. How does our giving for Christ compare to hers? I'm convicted by her life and ministry, and I submit Mary to you for your thorough consideration of her. Let the Spirit of God speak to you today through the Gospel of John. Let's pray together. Father, O God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that Christ's motive was pure love, that his death on Calvary's cross for our sins was self-sacrificing and extravagant. Your Son, Jesus Christ, gave his all for us, and we do not have the words in any language to adequately express our eternal gratitude to you. And thank you for this Mary from Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus and the dear friend of Christ. She's taught us so much, and I pray that we will be convicted by what we have read about her. May your people love you like she loved you. Give us such passionate adoration for you that we will give all for you. Speak to us today from your word. Please do not let this lesson escape us after our time ends, but rather sink these truths deep down into our souls. Yes, Lord, deep down. And thank you for hearing this prayer. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our journey with Jesus as he prepares for his crucifixion and subsequent resurrection from the dead will continue now. Thus far, using Matthew 26 as our primary text, we've learned from two very different perspectives on the Lord Jesus. There was the Jewish high priest Caiaphas, the Christ killer. He hated the Lord. And then we came to Mary, the friend of Jesus. She loved the Lord. We went over to John's Gospel, chapter 12, to get further insight into her response to Jesus. And now we read further down into Matthew 26, and we come to Judas. We've discussed him briefly already at the end of last week, so you know who he is. But let me get the text of Matthew chapter 26 back on your mind. I'm reading now in the Bible's New Testament in Matthew 26 and verse 14. I'll read verses 14 through 16. This is Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12 named Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Judas. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. So this puts us back in Matthew, which is exactly where we want to be for the next few weeks. And I'll let you in on my plan. By examining the life of Judas in Matthew's gospel, I'm going to have us follow him from here where he is looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus, at verse 16, all the way down to the time when that opportunity presents itself and Judas takes it, verse 47. So we will skip over a very important stretch in the life of Christ recorded for us between verses 17 and 46 of this chapter 26 of Matthew. But as I said to you when we began this series, we will have to pass over long stretches of the narrative if we're going to time it such that we get to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus by April 21st. That's the nature of our limited time together. But bypassing these verses does not mean I think them unimportant. And tomorrow I want to begin our time together by saying more on what else is in Matthew 26. I will summarize the events of Jesus' life therein, so please be back for that. And if you should be thinking, you do not have to tell me your plan, Mark. I only tune in from time to time when it's convenient for me. Just get on here and teach. Well, please consider there are those very faithful to this ministry who do not miss a day. So I'm just trying to be faithful to those listeners who track with me very closely. I am very thankful for you all, and I want to bring you along with me as best I can. Right into the Bible, right into the life of Jesus. And on that note, I already look forward to talking with you tomorrow, right here on God Is.